build it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It's Financial Fridays with our man Scott Garrison, and the topic today is what's on everybody's mind for this evening. We'll get to that. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk about anything that you have on your mind coming up. What's going on this weekend? College football recruiting. The Sooners are hot. Could there be a little bit of a crack in the Lincoln Riley armor with reports coming out last night of a certain quarterback heading somewhere else, at least to visit? And another school.
I could not help but crack up when I saw that headline. he's just waiting for the check to clear, man.
Well, especially where he's going.
Exactly.
And another school that's been.
Speaking of money.
Notre Dame. How about Notre Dame? Leading the rankings in some of them so far. So we'll hit the college football recruiting. Jimmy, our man Jimmy Clark, I've got a better idea for him on Thursday nights, and I'll explain what that is. And we're going to hit Scott's in the studio with us right here at the top of the show to talk all things lottery and tell you when you win tonight how to be the smartest about the money you're going to get from that Mega Millions. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with us. Log on to KADSAM.com. You can live stream us that way or download the app. The Paragon Communications app is free. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. A brand new edition of the Penny News is out on the town right now. Pick up a free copy of that Penny News wherever it lies. You also have Big Elk TV and Paragon TV 4 weeks from today. We'll be running around crazy as soon as the show is over, making sure we've got everything ready for the opener with the Elks hosting Altus. Also on Paragon TV, that I have to look at the schedules, but we're going to have Merritt and Hollis this year on the football side of things for Paragon TV. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check out what we had to talk about each and every day. Jared, did I miss the memo that I was supposed to wear my fishing derby shirt?
Was someone else wearing it? Is this why you're saying
no,
this?
No, last Friday it looked like we were probably supposed to do that, and instead everybody wore their hat.
That's right, and I forgot the memo about the hat. I came bald-headed. No, I just woke up and grabbed a shirt and threw it on. It's Friday. It's usually the day I wear T-shirts, and my wife, she doesn't work this particular Friday, and so she'll still sleep, girl's still asleep, so I'm basically getting ready in the dark. It was the first shirt I just felt out of the drawer.
Just happened to be the fishing derby shirt. Just happens to be what everybody else has on. Y'all leave me out of the text?
No, this is how I felt last week about the hats. Everybody wore the golf hats, and then I show up. I'm like, what's going on? Did I miss the memo? So, no, you didn't miss anything. You got a really nice shirt on.
Yeah, I've got my master shirt on.
I wish I had that shirt.
Yeah, it's a lot more comfortable than that fishing derby shirt. I can actually breathe.
This is a nice, soft shirt.
All right, let's welcome in.
My wife hasn't shrunk it yet.
Let's welcome in Scott Garrison. Mark that, 9:05.
See, I can say these things because I know she's not listening.
She's
probably just now getting the girls up.
She'll hear about it.
Oh, boy.
She will hear about it.
A text has already been sent. Jared will be away from us for the next 10 minutes trying to explain that comment.
Hey, real quick, you know what's great about my wife? You know what's awesome? Last night, next weekend, we're getting a little getaway to celebrate our birthdays and anniversary. And she goes, well, I said, what do you want to do in the city? We're going to go to the city. What do you want to do? She goes, I don't know. You want to go to Topgolf? Yes. She came up with the idea. It's awesome.
It's even better. Now she's
a good woman. Yeah. Now she just do the laundry right. You'll be set.
she does the laundry right. I'm sure somehow I'm the one who shrinks my shirts.
Turns out, if this continues, you're probably going to have two separate hotel rooms on the go away to the city. All right, it is a Financial Friday with Scott Garrison, Garrison Financial, down on the what is southeast corner of Third and Main. I'm going to ask you this because I visited a couple of doors to the north yesterday to get my hair cut. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder, all those years ago, did Scott realize before I did that when I became like 35 years old, I was going to essentially be bald? Could you see that pattern as cutting my hair when I was like 18?
Yes, I absolutely
could. Oh, no. Why didn't you warn me?
Well, you know, you just have to embrace what you have while you have it.
It's like George Costanza when he's looking at that guy and he sees the balding pattern. He goes, what do I do? Live! Live, dang it, live!
That's disappointing. All right, so the topic on everybody's mind, at least for one day, is this lottery. And we're clear above the $1 billion. I actually have a rule, and I came up with this the first time it was a billion, that I'm not playing the lottery unless it's a billion. So I've already purchased my ticket.
Really?
Yes. That's like the third time in my life I've purchased a lottery ticket.
Do you pick your own numbers, or do you let
I just
them...
let it fly.
Okay.
I don't know how it works. So I just say, make sure, I don't know what to buy, but make sure what I buy, if I do hit them all, that I win the billion.
Yeah,
you know, just whatever that is.
Or I'm coming back.
Let me do that.
I don't need any multipliers. I feel like a billion will be okay.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing. So that's I had a question about that, because the multiplier doesn't help you get the billion.
It doesn't help you win. No.
It just, if you don't win the billion, it multiplies what you might win.
I don't even know.
I'm not sure.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, just keep it simple. Yeah.
So let's pretend.
Lottery is not one of my recommendations in any way, shape, or form.
I noticed that it wasn't a bullet point here for all your stuff. Be sure to play the lottery every Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah, that is not in the list.
But let's pretend like somebody wins.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always this debate, and I think it's always been a great bar room debate. Do you take the lump sum, or do you take the annuity with the payouts?
So first, let's put a little context into a billion-dollar lottery, okay?
Okay.
If you won the billion-dollar lottery, you would make as much money, you would make more money than the top 10 highest-paid athletes in the world this year.
Okay.
Like combined?
Combined.
Oh. Man,
you would make more. The top 10 highest paid athletes in the world, I've got it right here, they are going to make $992 million combined.
Wow.
And that is salary and off the field. That's
everything.
So here's your trivia this week. All right, give me two of the top three.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
I'm tempted to stay in the same sport, but I'm afraid I'm tempted to say Messi.
Yes.
Is the third an F1 driver?
No.
Or is it LeBron?
No. Well, the third one is LeBron.
Okay.
Yeah, he broke the billion-dollar mark, didn't he?
For his career.
Yeah.
So, the you know what
is Ronaldo one? I would guess Ronaldo one.
Messi is number
Messi's one.
Messi's
one? Okay.
Yep. Messi is one, LeBron two, Ronaldo three. And then Neymar four. And you know what brings me great joy? I get to tell Skinny that baseball is dead. There is not a single baseball player in the top 10.
I just got a text that said, how big is Scott's smile telling you about these soccer guys?
Not a single baseball guy in the top 10.
You know, that's interesting, because you think about some of these baseball contracts that are for – I mean, $500 million.
Yeah.
But they're also spread out over 10 or 15 years, to where those per-year averages don't get up as high as even so a lot of the basketball guys. They're in those $40 to $50 million range at the end of these long contracts.
What have we been saying about baseball and their stars, and what MLB is not doing a good job of? Marketing them.
Yeah.
So you're talking about this. That includes everything,
well,
right? I mean,
it's so true, because –
have you seen Mike Trout in a commercial?
I was going to say, Mike Trout is a guy that we'll see what happens with the injury he's got right now. But he was on pace to be one of the top 10, top 5 type player of all time. And if he walked in this radio station, most people wouldn't. But you get Ronaldo or Messi or Neymar or some of those guys walking in here, people know who they are.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, the difference. In a country as ours – where baseball has been more important to the fabric of it than soccer has at this point.
Well, how about this? Roger Federer, guess what he made on the court last year?
$6 million.
How about $700,000?
Oh, my gosh.
He is number seven. $90 million in endorsements. Talk about marketing.
Man.
I can think of him being in, like, is it the Gillette commercials that he was in?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'll see commercials.
But and another thing, they're worldwide, though. These are probably worldwide numbers where all that money is.
There's commercials we're not seeing from those guys because I can't think of a Federer commercial. You probably – but I'm seeing some commercials where they'll have athletes on there. I'm like, who is that guy? And I'm thinking, well, whoever he is, he's getting paid.
Yeah.
and of course, all – you know, Floyd Mayweather, if he just wants to do one fight, he'll be the highest paid athlete in the world today.
Yeah, it seems like he gets that once every two or three, 4 years. All of a sudden, you're like, whoa, Floyd Mayweather, $150 million or whatever it is.
And here we are paying the $100 for the pay-per-view. And
yeah, exactly.
So back to the point, the lottery tonight, $1 billion, the question is, and me and Aaron talked about this, about do you take the monthly payments or do you take one lump sum? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you're still paying the same amount on the taxes.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
No. Ooh, no. No. Why is that?
Well, first of all, like I like to tell a lot of people, what do you think is going to happen to our taxes after the disaster that they just created?
Mm. Higher.
I mean, I only see one way they're going to go. Oh, first, I need to say that any advice that I'm giving on here is not advice. It's an opinion. And past performance is not indicative of future gains, so I definitely need to throw that out. All of this is just opinion. We're just having fun. This is not investment advice in any way, shape, or form.
You got to get that down there at the southeast corner of 3rd and Main.
So as we move forward, I guess the biggest thing, the only thing that you need to know is what kind of person are you? Are you Warren Sapp or are you Ryan Broyles?
Okay, because then Ryan Broyles –
Warren Sapp made over $90 million and went broke. Ryan Broyles made $3 million total and lived off of $60,000 a year while he was playing in the NFL. He drove a Mazda. Mm-hmm. So
beans and rice is what you're saying.
Beans and rice.
Yes, yeah.
If you're going to be good with money, take the money. You got to take the money. Because I texted this to Aaron yesterday. So the S&P has averaged 9.6% for over 100 years. After taxes, lump sum, which I didn't know this, I was doing taxes at 25%. Because this is such a large amount, the federal government can actually tax up to 37%. So this is a little skewed because I didn't have quite enough taxes in there, which is why you should always speak with your tax professional.
Like, wouldn't that be your first call if you won?
You need to find out who the highest paid CPA in the country is, and he needs to be your new CPA.
Okay. Just for this
really
transaction.
Absolutely. So if you took the lump sum and you just threw it all in the S&P 500, you could pay yourself $20 million a year with a $2 million a year raise, cost of living raise, because, you know, inflation. And in 20 years, you would have $1.25 billion.
Starting at 450.
Starting at 450.
After tax.
After taxes, yeah. Yep. So show me the money. I believe that I would not be Warren Sapp.
But if somebody out there thinks they are.
Yeah, then just take a lifetime annuity.
You just take a life. Now, when you say lifetime annuity, is there something you have to do to ensure that those payments get made if you die?
Yeah, you better set it up into a trust.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my next question.
Well, anytime, once again, you need to talk to your legal team there, too. And, I mean, anytime that you get any kind of money like that, you need to have a trust.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit of a target on your back.
Yeah, I would say so. And I will give everybody this advice. If you do win, don't tell a damn soul.
Exactly.
Except for me. Come talk.
Yeah, except for Scott. He's the only person in town that should know that you won this.
Okay, here's a fun question because this came up last night. We were talking about this.
I bet I know what it is.
What is it?
What's the first thing you would buy?
Exactly.
What's the first thing you would do if it happened to be you? Or what's the first thing you would do with the commissions off of $1 billion that you got to invest? And since you're not going to play the lottery, what about that?
I mean, wouldn't that be the funnest part of it?
Yes.
I mean, would it not be? Mm-hmm. You know, like you see the videos of Shaq going into these stores and just buying stuff for families, just surprising everybody. And I mean, that would definitely be the funnest part.
I can think of a place to give about $3 million right this second in this town, just a little south of here.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you'd go a little north of here.
There you
Brand
go.
New press box and turf. And
yeah, that, you know, that Hunt could take care of that. I'm talking about something different.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, that would be nice. But, yeah, no, I don't. I think I would probably just take one really amazing vacation.
Well, that's what my wife said, kind of along the lines of that. She said I'd buy my own personal jet and hire a pilot. And I thought, wait a minute. That means you're paying for fuel? That seems like a lot of money.
I Googled dumbest purchases by athletes because I was going through all of this for this show, and I Googled dumbest purchases by athletes. Scottie Pippen bought a $3.5 million Learjet, and he didn't have it inspected before he bought it and needed $1 million in repairs.
Wow. I just said, listen, if you want to go somewhere, we got all the money in the world, just charter a plane.
Net jets or one of those things. Yeah, there's no sense in owning one.
They will kick somebody else off.
Yeah. Charter a plane, yeah. I'd buy a share into just some kind of professional team that guarantees me my own owner's box, my own personal box, where I can walk in and sit, and it's fully stocked of food and drinks anytime I want. Now, what team? I don't know.
Soccer, right?
No. Energy is too small. Maybe the Thunder, but I think I'd lean towards the Texas Rangers.
Oh, the Rangers.
They got a nice new stadium. I think I'd want a little my own personal owner's box in that one. And then, you know, a little ownership. Now, could I have say in what JD does with his trades and acquisitions? I don't know if they'd let me.
Yeah, I was going to say the problem is that people have realized what those are worth, and none of them are for sale at all.
That's right.
In any sport.
But as far as the first purchase, I think that'd be it. Just an ownership, some kind of ownership to get that.
How many guys had to get together to get the Thunder?
Quite a bit.
They all had a lot of money.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And bought them just on the cheap, too.
Yeah.
Did.
The more I've been looking at our topic last week about the arenas and. And we were talking about this last night after playing golf. It when you walk into the Paycom Center now, I mean, it seems like it's really nice.
Yeah, it seems
amazing. It seems really, really nice. And it was built for 30% of what the rest of them are. And I've never been to American Airlines or any of the others around here. And so I was trying to figure out what is the difference. And I assume it's the amenities, you know, with restaurants underneath and you know, the suites. I mean, the suites are.
It's got to be.
It's got to be what the draw is to try to contain all of that money inside that building as opposed to, you know, down on Bricktown here or what have you. But, man, I would guarantee you the first thing I would do is buy tickets to the Masters.
Sure. Yeah.
Even on the secondary market where they do not want you to do it. But at that point, who cares? I'm not near as worried about the guys at Augusta being mad at me.
No.
When I've got all that money,
well,
as I am right now.
If you had all that money, couldn't you go to the guys at Augusta and go?
No.
No.
Because they'd fleece you, wouldn't they?
No, they won't let you. They call you. You don't call them.
Okay.
That's the way that works.
Even if it's a blank check, here you go.
They don't care.
Be here.
Money is not an object to them.
Wow.
You would think they would have already called you.
I would have thought so, too. I keep on waiting for my man Quade Cummins to qualify for the Masters, because when you look at how to get press passes, trying to get a press badge to there, they really like those hometown stories for press members. And I mean, I caddied for him in his first golf tournament ever at Riverside in Clinton.
Don't forget that, Quade.
If you're listening, I know he's not playing this week, so maybe he's listening to us. Don't forget that. Help me out when you get there. I don't have to carry your bag. Trust me, you don't want me carrying your bag there. I'd make it about four holes and have to be out, you know, sitting on the sidelines like the fat dude on Tin Cup was.
Bring you a pimento sandwich and a $20 beer, right?
No, that's the beauty of it. That whole meal
right there,
it's like $5 for a pimento cheese and a beer.
Never changed.
It's great.
I forgot about that.
All right, so. If you can handle it, take the money and run.
Absolutely.
If you're afraid you can't handle that much money, just let them give it to you in an annuity.
That's it.
Thank you, Scott. Financial Fridays with Scott Garrison, Garrison Financial. He does full financial planning, shops the open market to bring you the best value on life insurance and investments. And he's just a fun dude to talk to, too. So go down and visit him. Southeast corner of 3rd and Main.
Baseball is dead. Told Jim I said that.
Scott at SoonerWealth.com. I know you got a former high school mate that's not happy with what you're saying. Thank you, Scotty. Scott Garrison, Garrison Financial. We'll be telling you all about him throughout the show. When we come back, college football recruiting. Jared's going to be happy that Lincoln Riley's quarterback visiting somewhere else. Skinny on Sports right here on Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It's a Financial Friday with Scott Garrison. He was just in here talking about the lottery coming up tonight, $1 billion with the Mega Millions. I think this is the third or fourth time that the prize has been over $1 billion. I want to say this would be number four. Good luck to everybody out there tonight if you're doing that. Also, tomorrow, KECO presents the Elk City Motorsports Park Sooner Limited Modified Series invades Elk City Motor Speedway to do battle with our local and regional USRA Limited Modifieds. It's Saturday. Gates open at 5. Racing starts at 7. Other classes will be racing are the USRA Factory Stocks and Tuners. So come on out and get sideways with us on a semi-banked 3/8 of a mile dirt track. Admission is $12 for 16 to 64-year-olds, 8 to 15 and 64-plus, plus active duty military. First responders get in for $8. Children under 8 are free, have concessions and food trucks available. They're located at 5612 West 20th Street here in Elk City, or a mile south of Hutch's west side and then about a quarter to a half mile back west. More information, visit their Facebook page at Elk City Motorsports Park. The vroom vrooms out on the dirt track. That'd be fun.
Be fun, yeah.
I've had a lot of racing here lately. You know, the Street Outlaws were filming last week down 20th Street. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that. Couldn't talk about it, but I knew that.
Oh, really?
They kept it a big secret.
Yeah, real big secret.
It was a big secret when it was on everybody's Facebook page. 20th Street was shut down. Burn marks are left.
I have to say, a real big real big secret when there's about there's now road bumps or speed bumps because of all the tire that was left.
Yeah, you know, we tried to do a story about it. I say we. Casey's been helping me out with news, and she wanted to do a story about it. I said, hey, go get it. And they would not let her in. They said it's a big secret because they want to keep it hush-hush. Come on. It's a small town in America. People know you're in town.
I would imagine that could probably
cause... I didn't think they want the giant crowd.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know... anything people I can still remember and it'd be nice if this would happen again, but you weren't living here yet and are working here yet. Oh well, you might have been. Anyway, you remember when Elk Lake filled in the course of one day?
Yeah, I was not here yet, but I remember it was
2015
Memorial Day weekend.
2015.
Yeah the ponds over here
came into across the street and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it was amazing. I wish I would have set up a ticket booth on Washington and charged every car that came, that literally drove out of town to the lake to see water in it again.
Yeah.
I would have made like $5,000. So the point is, that was just rain in a pond or in a lake filling up. The street outlaw thing, I can get why they tried to keep it as secret as possible.
I get it.
People from coming.
I get it.
If they didn't want them there, they're filming. And quite frankly, there's not a lot of places for people to go out there where they were.
No, other than the school parking lot, which was being occupied by them. But,
right.
Yeah, and I get it. It's a popular show. People wanted to see it, you know, and see those guys they see on TV, maybe catch an autograph or two. But it's a safety thing, too. You don't want them lining up the side of the street and everything. I totally get it. But, yeah, there was like an embargo on it. Like, I couldn't talk about it. No one could. They were really, really not wanting us to talk about it on air. We can now, obviously.
Right, because it's over.
And it's over, and I don't know when it'll be on TV. But it's cool, though. They've been trying to get that here for a while. It's cool. I wish it – but, you know, you're right. I wish there was a way that they could do something like that where people can go and watch and then, yeah, maybe charge a couple bucks, make the city some money.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that you miss out on is obviously being able to generate some
revenue.
Get
a bunch
of
people in town buying hotel rooms, buying food, filling up their tanks. That's a big opportunity, but okay. But, yeah, it is cool.
You know what else is kind of cool, at least to certain OU fans right now, is waking up to the news or late last night realizing that one Malachi Nelson, who was formerly committed to Oklahoma.
The now number one.
Now number one recruit in the country on it was ESPN that bumped him up, wasn't it? Ahead of Arch Manning. Been committed to USC essentially since Lincoln Riley took the job.
He's been committed to Lincoln Riley. Let's be clear about that.
And so, well, that may not be true now, Jared, because last night reports come down the pike that he is in College Station, Texas, making a visit to Jimbo and the Aggies. Do you think there's any real shot, or is he there finding out what their offer is in order to go back and generate a little bit more revenue for himself?
A little counter. Listen, that's enticing him is the money, and that's, I think, the only reason he's there is this. It's not to look at the facilities and all that and talk, do I fit with the coach? You know, it's how much can you guys give me? And you know A&M's going to top dollar this guy. And you're right. I think he'll go back and say this. You know, they want to give me this much money. What can they do? What can you guys do, USC? And see if they can generate a matching offer. It's so funny. And I'm also an unconfirmed source told that the number one receiver in the nation. I don't have a name, but I also believe in the same class, and I don't know who he's committed to. Or is he also committed to USC, the number one? I'll have to Google that up.
Without a name, and I'm not going to be able to tell you. There was Brandon Ennis he was up there high, committed to OU at one point, now at
Tate?
Ohio State.
Cornell Tate?
Carnell Tate, he's an Ohio State commit too.
His word is he's also looking at A&M, and so it could be if those two are, let's get both those guys. It's just funny to me, but that's the new world of the recruiting in college football. It's not, and I've said it over and over, it's not anymore. It's not really about what fits best for the athlete. It's who can pay you the most.
Well, certain ones.
Certain ones. And I think, and it goes back, and, you know, to bring this back to Oklahoma, you know, talking about OU right now, they're hitting on a lot of recruits, and it's been more of a waiting game and being patient with it, especially Venables being patient with these guys and offering these guys and getting them to commit. And I think he's trying to get a kid on the team that's listen, you're committing to this school, to this program, to what we do here. Don't commit if you're going to go take other visits. Now, that remains to be seen. If these commits will go and continue to take visits, we'll see. But he might have been like, listen, don't commit, and I don't know. but he might be telling them, don't
commit.
Well,
I do. That's exactly what he told them.
He told them, don't go taking other visits. If you're going to commit to this, you're all in. You're it. That's it. The ink is dried. You're not going. It's refreshing.
Yeah, we'll
in
see.
In this NIL world. But we'll see if that really we'll sticks. We'll see.
I mean, it's all great, and you can, in theory it is. It's all, hey, you know, this guy looked around, and he made that decision, and, you know, but this is also July, and you're trying to get to the finish line in December. All bets are off if the Sooners come out and drop about an 8-4 or 7-5. And that's just the world of recruiting with or without NIL. That's going to be, you know, as much fun as it is right now to see these guys in defensive guys that haven't been, you know, it's a heck of a defensive class outside of, you know, Jackson Arnold and Petway, the wide receiver, at least on the ESPN rankings. They're the only two inside the top 100, but OU's got a bunch of guys committed. And on the defensive side of the ball there, yesterday, Derek LeBlanc, defensive tackle, defensive end type from Florida. Four stars, number 37 on these rankings, committed to OU. And there's chances for some even higher-ranked guys. When you look at David Hicks is on campus right now, defensive tackle from Katy, Texas. He's wanted by everybody. He's there now. Can that, you know, is that some momentum? But I think at the end of the day, what you're seeing is a complete 180 in what Oklahoma is able to do on the recruiting trail. They've gone from the destination of quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, to now maybe being one of the destinations for some of these defensive guys, defensive linemen in particular, with the guys that they've been able to wrangle in so far. And then looking ahead, could Hicks be even kind of the cherry on top of that on the defensive line? And then, you know, there's rumors of another Denton guy, Jackson Arnold's teammate, Peyton Bowen. He's ranked 30th in the country and even higher in some other services. That could he be a guy that can flip from Notre Dame as a safety to OU with Arnold being his teammate and that kind of stuff? So it's really – it's exciting for different reasons than it has been in the past, just because, you know, I think there's, at least for me, I think there's more trust in what the offense is going to be able to sustain. And now when you couple that with defensive mentality from the head coach, and obviously Todd Bates, it was a huge hire on the defensive line to get him away from Clemson. And you can already see that higher paying dividends on the recruiting trail. And you know that he can coach them too, because all you got to do is look around at drafts over the past 4 or 5 years. Guys from Clemson were littered in there throughout the first round.
The USC thing, do you take any – we didn't really talk about this, about Addison – claiming, or there was word that he was not happy, empty promises, or is that just planted in there by outsiders, maybe from Pitt or even OU, trying to make USC look bad? Have you seen anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a headline that went away really fast. That you never know how much of that is smoke and how much of it is actually has some fire to it. I think there's two places that the season and how it plays out are going to determine where they end up as far as recruiting goes. Because, listen, if USC takes off and they play like some people, I've seen people having them in the playoff from a 4-8 to a playoff team. If that happens, watch out. The class is 13th right now, at least in the ESPN ones that I'm looking at. That could skyrocket, and you could get back really quickly to the days of Pete Carroll in stacking those classes one after another, like a little bit of a mini Bama. It's a shorter run, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could see that happening. And the other one's but, you know, I think the advantage they have is being the place in Southern California. I don't know that it'll just crater because of Lincoln's track record And then, especially with offensive guys, I don't think you see just everybody jump ship like you could at Texas. Texas is number three right now. They're rolling on the recruiting trail. What happens though if it's still a 6-6, 7-5 team? How much, does Arch start looking around? Like, wait a minute, Sark may not be there throughout my career.
Yeah.
And he's clearly a huge pull for Arch Manning to go there in the first place. And then if he's not there, then what about everybody else? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the one that if they, and you look at some of those first games, obviously the Alabama game is monumental. If they were able to win that one, then everybody's in, and maybe even more. But if they don't, and then they stumble around and you see them at 7-5 and looking exactly like they have for the last decade, Sark's foundation isn't quite as sure. That could be one where it really could crater and fall apart. And, some other teams, OU, OSU, LSU, A&M would be right there as kind of the top places for some of these guys to jump ship to.
Yeah.
I think more than about anybody else. And honestly, I think you could put Oklahoma in that too because of the newness of what Venables is. You've got people committing to him right now on faith and track record defensively, but we've never seen him be a head coach. And so can he produce on the field the way that people are accustomed to?
Right. On that, USC, it's not hard for them to crater, but, man, we just saw them crater. This is a very pivotal time for them, obviously, with their new head coach and the recruiting class, and if they can't get it done. I question it since day one of the hire, and I still question it, how short of a leash does Lincoln Riley have? If he can't produce in the first – the expectations are already set to be very high this
year.
Which
is crazy,
isn't
though.
It crazy?
That's crazy.
That's what I think is bad for Lincoln Riley is that you have these prognosticators saying that they're going. This is a playoff team. Look at this, like a playoff team. They got all these guys that come in from Pitt, from OU, from everywhere in the country. He's put together a team that's a playoff caliber in a weak Pac-12. They should go win it, run away with Pac-12, and be in the playoffs. Well, what if he doesn't do that?
It depends on how they look. It just totally depends on how they look. It's not going. He's not going to have to be very damn good for everybody to go, hey, see, it's already better. They were 4-8.
Yeah, I get that. Absolutely.
There's zero leash right now, because he's not going 4-8. They're way too talented to go 4-8. I think what you're talking about is in a year or two. When you start, you change the guys. You start getting quote unquote your guys in there. Then in year three, if you're going 8-4 or 9-3 and not really even being in the consideration to be a playoff team, that's when what you're talking about starts to build. And next year, absolutely not, because there's zero chance that they're not better than they were last year. And so that already builds him a little bit of goodwill. I think it's when the spoil factor gets in. If they went 10-2 this year, those people will be ecstatic. Look at the future. Look what he just did. In 1 year, he turned us from 4-8 to 10-2. But what if then the next year's 9-3 and the next year's 10-2? Then that's when I think what you're talking
and those
about.
Those guys you're talking to, his guys, his transfer guys, but his recruiting guys, which has kind of been what everyone was quietly whispering while he was on campus and then started yelling after he left campus, was see what happened, the production and the lack of defense and all this stuff once we started to see his guys get in here, not Stoops guys. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's when that leash gets tighter and shorter. That was my question day one, was how much will USC and the fans and the boosters nowadays tolerate that?
They
have a great season this year, and then he starts getting out the 9-3s and the 7-4s and then 8-2s and whatever, few Pac-12 championship game, Big Ten championship game appearances, and then one and done in the playoffs. I'm like, well, he's just doing the same thing he did at OU.
Yeah, and listen.
Is that what they tolerate? Is that what they want? Because, well, it could be worse. Could be back to what was before him. Kind of like how OU fans were like, well, better than the Blake years. You see what I'm saying? Or do they expect national titles
every
year?
Anytime you make the playoffs, you have a chance to win the national title.
Sure.
I don't care what the game – I mean, you could get killed. Obviously, you know, we think about OU LSU and getting beat 63 to whatever, 20 or whatever it was. But you're only able to get beat down like that if you're in the thing. And so I think that's something that hasn't really been at the forefront of college football fans' minds that's going to start becoming that. I mean, think about it like this. Is there anybody in the world that would fire John Calipari, just a blue blood school, if he made the Final Four every year and never won it?
That's a good point.
I don't think so.
No, nobody would.
Hunt would be the one to answer that. You know, but that's what I'm saying.
Get Drew in here, yeah.
I mean, you got Bill Self at Kansas. If he's making Final Fours, you're like, dang, we're so close. We saw it right here. You're like, oh, we're so close. Just need another player or two to get over the top.
Right.
As opposed to, well, this is getting, I mean, it was getting old. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, you know what's worse? The last 2 years. Not even making it.
Yeah.
Because then you get to see how crappy the other bowls are when nobody plays. Yeah, it's really neat to go to the Cotton Bowl, except for Florida didn't play anybody.
Right.
You know, it's really cool to play in the Alamo Bowl. No, it's not. It's not even cool to play in the Alamo Bowl. So I think just and USC's coming from, they haven't been relevant on the national stage in years. And I think they're so starving for success that for the first 2 or 3 years, he's untouchable. Now, when you get into year 5 or 6, maybe some of that starts to creep in. But here's the problem for that line of thinking. The biggest advantage he has is going away in 2 years. He's got 2 years of crappy Pac-12 football, and then he's going into the Big Ten. I think this national championship or bust mentality from fans of these blue blood schools, it's not realistic. Now, it doesn't mean it's changing, because it ain't changing here, you know good and well. That's the only thing anybody wants and cares about. But the realistic side of it is a totally different thing, I think, than what the fans have in their brains. And that's an adjustment that's going to have to be made in order to – and maybe this, you know, if it does be, a 16-team playoff, maybe then with more playoff games, the making it into the Final Four becomes a little bit more prestigious like what it is in basketball, because you had to earn your way there in the bracket, as opposed to just be put in there by a committee member. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's actually some – you got skin in the game and wins that you can put on the wall to say, hey, we won 2 games in the playoff to get to the Final Four, as opposed to just starting there. Maybe that helps with the expectations and being a little bit more realistic at everywhere but Alabama. You know, if you're Alabama, I get it. We win the title every other year, so it's going to be weird if we don't. But the recruiting thing is – it's going to be interesting – And one other note on that, when you look at the rankings, at least ESPN's rankings, a team that you don't see at the top of these things very often, and maybe they don't finish there, but Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Really interesting that Notre Dame is becoming more of a force on the recruiting trail. And I wonder why. Is it just Marcus Freeman? You know, they had back-to-back top 10 classes in the last couple of years of Brian Kelly. Now Marcus Freeman's there in his first real class, has him number one. Is there something – is he able to connect with a little bit different athlete, you know, somebody that's not necessarily Catholic in those Catholic schools? Is he able to kind of branch out further from that? I mean, Peyton Bowen is a perfect example. Denton Guyer, that's just a public school down in Denton, Texas, able to coax him into a commitment to Notre Dame. So maybe Marcus Freeman is either being allowed to or has the personality to kind of use the advantages that are built in for Notre Dame with the Catholic system, but also be able to cherry pick some other guys from around the country as well.
I think he's making it cool to be at Notre Dame. You know, it was an excellent showing against OSU in that bowl, Fiesta Bowl, and it, I think even in the loss, they're showing, listen, kind of like OU, you know, they're saying one man is not the program. We're still Notre Dame. We can still compete at a high level against a very good team despite losing. And they, you know, when it was announced that he was the head coach, he was the guy, there's a viral video of the locker room exploding. And I think he might be a really, and that's probably what, you know, despite of also alongside of him being a really good coach, he looks like he's a player's coach and a good recruiter. And I think it goes back to he's keeping Notre Dame cool. And it's an easy sell to go into a kid's home and go, hey, you want to play for Notre Dame? I mean, who wouldn't? It's one of my favorite schools outside of OU. As far as tradition, mm-hmm. pageantry of college football, I mean, it is. I mean, I've said this for years. It's one of my favorite schools. I will, if OU's not playing, I'll turn to NBC. So I think I think it's an easy sell when you're representing the brand of Notre Dame and you're a cool coach and you're a young guy and you're a player's coach. I think he's actually making it cooler to play at Notre Dame than what Brian Kelly did.
Yeah, I think that's it. Because there's those advantages and there's the mystique and the tradition, but it hasn't always been able to use that and springboard it to these good top 10 type recruiting classes.
Right.
And nowhere near the top. You know, it feels like they were always in that, you know, kind of like OU, sneaking into the top 10 at the end. Now, I mean, shoot, it is a long way to December in the recruiting game, but it's also only 4 short months. And so, even if they don't finish at the very top, it feels like a top 5 is well within their grasp. And that's something that we haven't really seen them stack those classes together like that. One question off the text line, I think this is a really interesting question. Do you think it helps Clemson not taking transfers, or do you think it hurts them? You know, they're one of those. Dabo has been outspoken against the portal and the way that it's, you know, that it's being used and really taken advantage of in certain situations and taken advantage of the kids, he feels like, in certain situations. You think it helps or hurts?
Well, without knowing, has the portal hurt them in this offseason? Have they seen a lot leave?
Not necessarily.
They're one of the
few like static portal programs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're like, it's like old school over there because he doesn't use it and he doesn't really lose it either. Or it, so far.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And again, I think this is a big reason why I'm excited about Venables and the way he's recruiting, because you got to know he's recruited a lot of those guys at Clemson. And that philosophy of commit to the school, stay here, et cetera. And I think we're seeing that. They're not leaving without looking it up. And I don't think there should be worry if you're a Clemson fan, because they're one of my teams to rebound this year. And all those guys that they kept on campus, they were highly recruited guys, highly rated, I'm assuming, based on past success and their recruiting. So I don't think there's any worry there. I think they're going to be fine. The only thing that you should be worried about is the guys that they brought in to replace the coordinators that left, can they continue to keep it rolling? Can they continue to coach at that high level that Dabo Swinney obviously can? Venables obviously could as a defensive coordinator. That's the only thing I'd worry about. But as far as the players on campus and staying with the program, there should be no worry about it, because there's a reason they recruited them there, because they were highly recruited guys.
Yeah, and they've had a special ability to keep them there, and maybe what Venables is doing here, and it's what Dabo and those guys have done over there, is that philosophy that seems so out of touch with the current, you know, kid.
Yeah.
Or it feels like it. Maybe there really is something to it.
Absolutely.
That they create that sense of commitment within those kids that people don't think you can. And it's clear that Clemson's been able to.
And to repeat myself, maybe you should be excited about having a coach like Venables recruit the way he's recruiting. Because look what's happening in Clemson. Kids are staying.
That's right. We'll be back to wrap it up.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Wrapping it up on a Garrison Financial Friday. Scott was in here telling you how to handle your winnings in the lottery tonight. Thought that was really interesting. If you're Warren Sapp.
And if you win the lottery, yeah, I like that. If you're Warren Sapp or Ryan Broyles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you win the lottery, let us know so we can get you in contact with Scotty here.
Yeah, let us know. And if you really like us, throw a bone our way.
You can sponsor every day of the show. Sorry, Scott.
No.
Sorry, Rodney.
No, you can get Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
There you go. Yeah.
You can visit Scott at the southeast corner of 3rd and Main or shoot him an email, scott@soonerwealth.com. Can manage your investments or charge hourly to build a plan that you can manage. And I know a lot of people like to do that, into that kind of the day trading and the management of their own wealth. Mm-hmm. He can help you out with that. And most of all, he likes to work with the client's accountants to make sure and streamline those tax ramifications and returns. That's the first thing you said. If you won, talk to your accountant.
Yeah.
And figure out what exactly to do.
Well, I think that's what I said, too. I'd hire a lawyer and an accountant and maybe a bodyguard.
Yeah, I'm not telling anybody.
Yeah, I'm not. Now, there's some states you are required to be it has to be public who you are. Is Oklahoma?
I don't think Oklahoma is
one of those.
I hope Oklahoma is a
anonymous
state. Hey, by the way, quick note. Clinton just graduate, Kat Meacham. She is a U.S. amateur track and field All-American, placing seventh in the discus in her age group, which is 17-18, at the national track meet. So congratulations to Clinton's Kat Meacham.
That's something else.
On a track All-American in the discus, seventh in that national tourney. Really cool. Really cool stuff. What are you going to do this weekend?
Nothing. Nothing this weekend. Trying to think. I thought I had plans. Maybe Sunday, take the kids to a movie. They've been wanting to see this Super Pets movie, and we haven't been to a movie in quite a while with the kids. So that's about it. Nothing major planned. How about yourself?
Well, I get my yearly shot at the what would I call it? If there was one thing in golf that I haven't done, and I haven't done this, I get my yearly shot at being able to do it, and that is the club championship here at Elk City Golf and Country Club.
Yeah.
As I get older and fatter, the chances of that happening dwindle even more. But maybe I can use that to my advantage to go out there and go, you know what? I'm not the best player. I'm not supposed to win. You know, that underdog mentality.
There you go.
Tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Me and Dustin and Justin and Paul and Blake are going to play, and then sometime on Sunday in the afternoon, you pair with how you shot the first day, and and our flight won't tee off till after 1, I guess. So I'll be able to kill two birds with one stone, go to church, run the soundboard for the service, and then also be able to get there on time for my tee time, which hopefully is the last one, and that'll give me even more time. So even more incentive to play good on Saturday to give me time to get from church and get warmed up for the round.
Now, today's weather is beautiful, so I don't expect to see a lot of people in the office today, especially one guy.
Yeah, well, and the boss isn't here.
What's the weather like tomorrow?
Oh, perfect.
Is it going to be
like chances of rain, just almost like today.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm getting a report here on the have to go public in Oklahoma if you win the lottery. He's got a little message. Man,
someone must be listening over in internationally, because I just got this sent to me. He's in somewhere in Mexico.
That's sweet.
I'm not. I'll find out where he's at. He's having a good morning. It's a picture. Looks like it's from the fringe of a green. You can see the pin, and then you can see the ocean and someone parasailing in the background with some palm trees. That's a way to start Friday morning right there.
All right, so I mentioned Jimmy earlier. Our buddy Jimmy Clark, host of Today in Ag.
Yeah.
At noon on KECO. You know, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And by the way,
on 96.5 KECO.
Thank you to our man Joey texting this in. You have to go public in Oklahoma if you win the lottery.
I just said that.
You did? I'm sorry.
Were you not listening, Sean?
I was.
Sean, you're on your phone.
I was too busy admiring this picture. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I literally just said that.
Oh, okay. All right.
What,
so,
are we on the energy show all of a sudden?
When are we going to talk about Jimmy Clark?
Right now.
Did you say something about that?
I did. So, Jimmy Clark, he needs to do one thing on Thursday, and it's not play in the scramble at Sayre. It's a blind draw, and every single week, Jimmy Clark gets like two of the best players there. Now, most weeks he doesn't capitalize and win money. So here's what I'm telling Jimmy he needs to do. Instead of wasting your time for 2 hours of golf out in the heat, use those powers of drawing and go to the casino and hit that button and draw. Use your powers of good things and make yourself some money on the slot machines or on cards or whatever it is.
Or go buy a lottery ticket?
Or go buy a lottery. Yeah, well, I don't know if those powers extend into Friday. If the lottery is on Thursday, yes. Go get one. I just don't know if his powers of good luck extend into Friday, but I know for sure they are well in command on Thursday nights. Shout out to Jimmy and JB and Heston and Donald for not winning last night, giving everybody else one more chance next week. Appreciate that. Shout out to Drew for missing that eagle putt he kept complaining about all night long, which would have just tied. It's not like it would have won him anything.
He just won the eagle, man.
He just wanted to make an eagle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Jimmy, if you're listening, and I know you might be, quit using your powers for bad and use them for good. Go win yourself some money at the casino on Thursday nights, because you are the luckiest person on Thursday nights there ever was.
Hey, quick hitters, see Charles Barkley said no to the LIV Golf.
Yeah.
Bubba Watson said yes.
Brady Manick to the Perth Wildcats.
Perth Wildcats. Perth.
It's got to be Australia.
That is Australia, yeah. Okay, cool. Very good. Good week of shows. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Mr. Sparks. That was really good information yesterday that we'll be kind of continuing to get out there.
Yes.
4 weeks away, Jared. 4 weeks away from Big Elk football. We need to start hitting some of the high school stuff. I need to go find a preview mag so we can get read up.
I need to get with our man Mark. Maybe he can tell us where it is out there.
Maybe where he's at this week, finishing that up, because I know he hasn't been on the air.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend. Hope you get some rain out there. We'll see you Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to